Hi and welcome. This is Michelle Mache with Awakenings. Along the path of transformation and spiritual unfoldment, well, we could say sometimes we're blessed or sometimes we're lucky to come across a very gifted, well-rounded, well-trained guide, teacher, and facilitator. Our guest today, Carrie O'Quinley, is just that. She's the founder of the HeartLink Institute, author of the well-received Crop Circle Cards, The Living Oracle, and facilitator and expert to the crop circles and this phenomenon. I'd like to welcome Carrie L. Hi, Carrie L.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, me too. The listeners don't know what we went through with this, with the technology to make this happen, but the second time is a charm, I guess, right? Absolutely.
It's fun, isn't it?
Mm. It's fun just getting, I think, the message of transformation, ascension, if you will, awakening out there, and also letting the listeners know people that are in the forefront of this that can give insight, assistance, and, you know, I would say sometimes that have walked two steps ahead, you know. We're there to help others also along the way. So what was your inspiration, by the way, for the HeartLink Institute?
Well, I guess I should start at the beginning in a way. I began on the East Coast in terms of my adult life. I lived all my life on the East Coast, and I had been a mother and a wife for over 16 years. And at some point down the road, we split apart, and I decided I needed something more in my life and wanted more of the sense of God is the best way to express it, I guess. And I was mocked for that, so I definitely knew I did not want that marriage. And eventually had an awakening after my divorce and found that there it definitely is a whole other, there's a multidimensional universe. And had actually over time now, it's been about 5 Kundalini experiences. And one of them got me to the point of I needed to let go of the density of the old life. And I was a psychologist working as a school psychologist.
Ooh, that can be tough.
In the city schools.
Yeah, that can be tough.
In Baltimore. It was a challenge for sure. And at some point knew that I had to leave that. It took a while. I left the East Coast after working also in the another dense system, the court system, and as a court mediator and custody investigator. So I definitely needed to really focus on my spiritual emergence. And as I say, the Kundalini experiences really loud and clear were coming through telling me that. So I moved to the West Coast, which had been visiting numerous times and had wonderful experiences on the West Coast. So I said, okay, this is the energy I want to bring into my life. And when I got to California in 1993, I felt like I was being downloaded with information about the crop circles.
Okay. I wondered how that happened, how you received that.
There was a major event before that, several years before, on Mount Shasta, where I had an awakening, like I said, the Kundalini awakening, and had really some incredible encounter. It's definitely paranormal. In the sense that it was on a higher frequency. I had an experience with what I would call an angelic presence, but definitely human, was in human form. And this encounter was very concrete, at least in my experience. And I was lifted aboard what I would consider to be a light craft of some kind, and given this mission about the crop circles, which I had never heard about before.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was, Yeah, that was back in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
I had that experience. And then they said that you would know the time, when the time was right, you would understand.
Boy, don't you love how they always put it that way? It's like...
Yeah, it's like, okay, very vague.
Yeah.
But a lot of this was very vague anyway, so nobody gave me a manual on how to deal with a whole different multidimensionality.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, by 1993, I had integrated that Kundalini experience and really was well-grounded enough to, and I was being, again, contacted over the years by these, what I would call angelic extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I just really felt a strong presence, and that they were guiding me to get to California. And I just felt like they were with me that during the whole, and they still are actually, but, you know, it was just very strong. And again, once I get to California, within 6 months, I had birthed the cross circle cards, which is the oracle that you were mentioning at the beginning of the show. So this, energy, and of course working with the crop circles, I mean, it was profound energy. Even though I'd never ever been to England,
mm-hmm.
I said, I've got to go and I've got to research this more thoroughly, because I was given information, but I really didn't quite understand it. I put it into a oracle system, and then a lot of it was kind of, a lot of it was psychology, actually,
mm-hmm.
in a cosmic sense,
mm-hmm.
Using, you know, the information about how to integrate and balance your male and female sides,
mm-hmm.
and of course this is transpersonal psychology.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, if you think about it, though, psychology coming from psyche, meaning soul, my perception is we need updated versions of the old cycle, right? So it sounds like you were getting downloaded with the updated version.
There you go. And of course, at that point, I don't even know if the term transpersonal psychology even existed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, many of us were on the cutting edge of this new sense of the soul and the spiritual emergence of our consciousness, and I really got that the old psychology was just not enough. So I was very fortunate, and you know, kind of stumbling along, I kind of fell into this information.
Well, you know what, and I tell people too, Carol, people don't realize back in that time, the 80s and the early 90s, there was no transpersonal psychology, or there wasn't a degree in that, or there wasn't programs for that, or life coaching. You just got your information, you know, where you were guided to, and put something together, you know. And for a lot of the light workers, like yourself, it was very intuitive, or other beings, you know, working with you. The forms weren't there yet, you know. All this wasn't in form.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, since then, now we have some of these great scholars and great minds that have, you know, come to write many books on transpersonal psychology.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have, at any rate, I now can see how the information is used much more clearly in my crop circle cards, as over this 20-year period I've been using it in my counseling practice, and it really does access information from the subconscious and the superconscious mind very nicely. It's cosmic archetypes that are being used.
I love those cards. Listeners, if you haven't seen them, take a peek, go online. The crop circle cards, they are just amazing. And you're right, because it goes from the personal to the transpersonal into, like you said, the super consciousness, you know, that we're all being also guided from. Now, how did it evolve, though? I mean, you said within 6 months, the cards, did you start getting visions or impressions and then just start writing?
Before I got to California, I just knew I was going to do something worthwhile, something very important,
yeah.
At least in hindsight is everything, but I knew something powerful was going to come through. And basically, I didn't even know what crop circles were.
Yeah.
When I got here, though, I got the message that you must read about them. And I got as many books as I could find about crop circles. And, of course, the England formations were the ones that were written about.
Mm.
And, of course, since that time, and the English ones really are this wonderful, since the mid-70s, we've had this wonderful cycle of formations that are recent in recent times. But there were many formations prior to the 70s and way back hundreds of years ago.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that.
Once I got involved in this, I was just getting dreams coming through in the language of these images that are sacred geometry is the best way to describe these crop circle formations. They really are helping us to tune in and resonate on a higher frequency to our something within our own DNA. There's something that gets tripped off by just looking at these glyphs. They're so powerful. And so I was being cycled up just looking at these glyphs. And then eventually I was told how to put them in order and get them, organized. I had chosen at the time, there were 55 original designs that I used. And then in the second edition, which was in the late 90s, it became 64 cards.
Okay.
So now it's 64. And of course, this 64 to me represents the energy around the I Ching.
I was just going to say the I Ching, the completion.
Yeah. And the whole idea of the codons within the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
There is definitely a connectedness to the this language of light or sacred geometry that trips off our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the archetypes, there were symbols also coming through in the crop circles, like there were Celtic crosses and Egyptian symbols, and definitely Hebrew symbols. And you name it, it's a lot of the esoteric information was coming through from the wisdom schools.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the information about creation, the creation symbols of sacred geometry and fractal geometry, which is all about creation and how to create and how our universe operates in these frequencies that are based on mathematics and geometries.
Maybe that's why, and I have found if I do a reading and then one card very often will draw itself to me that I need to meditate on. Sometimes it's the last card in the reading, so I like doing the five the five position reading. And I do feel a synthesis of the energy when I look at the card. You know, I'll leave it standing up and just look at it, and I can feel that energy being drawn into me. So it's fascinating, because not all, there's a lot of kind of dead ritual, where you don't necessarily feel it, but these cards are definitely imbued with the actual vibrational energy. They're a container for the vibrational frequency that the card is meant to be creating for you, or drawing in for you, or integrating or synthesizing. So it's pretty amazing. It really is.
Well, and initially, back in, 93, when they were being printed, these frequencies were so powerful that they broke the printer's printing equipment.
I can believe it.
And I must say, holding the first prototype, it was so powerful just holding them in my hands. But, You know, so I recognized that there was definitely something powerful happening. I didn't know what. I mean, a lot of it, like I say, was something beyond my comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I even could, in any way translate what they were telling me, and of course I interpreted each card and gave, the suggested interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
But I do say in my book that people it's recommended that they just get their own interpretation first before they even go to the book and, just get the sense of what it means to them first.
Mm-hmm. So maybe I was just going to say, maybe you can talk to the guides about what do we do in this vibration? As we're shifting vibrationally, a lot of things happen, like you said, with the printers, with the crop circle cards, computers. It seems, our frequency is getting more expanded and elevated, and therefore influence the printers of the computers and, all the...
the whole grid can
the
be
grid.
Altered.
Yeah.
We are living in very, very fascinating times for sure. And of course, in my work with helping people, of course, I've been helping myself first. And of course, any healer will tell you first that they must heal themselves
yes.
so they can work with somebody. But truly, a lot of my old belief systems had to be let go.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, the Kundalini awakening will do that for sure in anyone. And if you understand what I mean by Kundalini, it's like having been plugged in, you're working on 110 volts, and then all of a sudden there's 220 running through you.
Yes, yes.
It's definitely, you're like, and this incredible light that is exploding in your head is the best way to describe it. It's like your mind is definitely being expanded.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that so many have that by accident and don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
And that was my first experience. And when that happened, I was in Egypt, and it was, of course, just being in Egypt is a journey in itself. But the whole time in Egypt, I was in this altered state and seeing phenomena that I didn't share with other people at the time because I thought it was just, how do you explain this? But one of the Giza pyramids, I encountered an extraterrestrial entity which communicated information and again I felt like I was downloaded, and all through that time I was having flashbacks to lifetimes in Egypt, and at the Karnak temple complex there's a special temple segments temple which as a group, we were allowed to then separate and go to the statue of Sekhmet,
oh, okay.
which is this wonderful lion, half lion, half human being, with this beautiful lion face. And this is one of the original goddesses that was considered very powerful in Egypt. And so the statue I was having the opportunity to be alone with the statue, it came alive and danced around me. And I am telling you, it was profound, this energy of the spiritual, psychic warrior type energy of courage. And
sounds like you were blending the viewer beyond the veil. The veil was lifting. So that, absolutely.
Yeah, and since then, by the way, I've heard others having a similar or some kind of experience with that statue. So I must say that initially I thought, boy, this is too strange to tell anybody.
But there's a lot of us, which is good that you're speaking this, because a lot of us have had these experiences. And when you hear that others have had it, you know, you relax your shoulders a little more and say, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like over the years I've had these encounters with these high frequencies that have helped to catapult me forward, whether I wanted to go or not.
Yeah.
And it's profound, and I'm honored, and I'm so thankful for the experiences, actually. I wouldn't change a thing. And,
you know,
it just
it's
keeps getting better.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Carrie-Ell, when you said, because before you were in such, kind of the work stuff purpose, you know, was so dense. I imagine you were channeling this energy anyway, etherically, even in those denser jobs or situations, you know, life situations. And I would imagine being able to be in that density, you know, you're a strong container to draw in this energy. Because, you know, a lot of people, you know, they want to check out and they're not grounded. I think that's where the healthy, the good psychology comes in, or, you know, you need that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why in the beginning, in the intro, I said trained, well-rounded guide, teacher, facilitator, because I think it's so important. You have both, you know, you have all the elements, you know, it's of the healing. And I think that's the new call or the new form, you know, in the quote-unquote new age or Aquarian age, or, you know, the more of this esoteric wisdom coming in way back when people were trained well-roundedly. Because you have to have a very grounded container to draw in this energy.
I was fortunate that in 1970 I met a wonderful teacher who really did train me well. And, you know, his information, he runs the Divine Life Church in Baltimore, and he is of the Swami order. And his teacher was Swami Premananda.
Okay.
And who then, his teacher was Swami Yogananda.
Ah.
So this was a lineage that was, I was very grateful to have taken part in. And the information of yoga philosophy served me very well. You know, The impact of the East on the West has been powerfully balancing.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, in our culture in the West, it's, we went way over to the materialistic world, and we needed the balance to come back to our spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you were taught to what?
I was taught to meditate and to self-reflect and to ground myself and center myself.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's going to be more and more important or prevalent as we're moving into the, you know, ascension, expansion process, as we're as more the mainstream, I would say, is becoming more awake to be able to ground and center? Do you see that more as a key point?
For sure. I think it's essential to be streetwise and spiritual at the same time.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Perfect balancing. Well said.
Well, you know, again, so many are in this false spirituality, and I you know, hear them talk, and their heads are in the sand in terms of what's happening around them. They're like in la-la land.
Yeah.
You know, they're not paying attention to the signs of what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And we really have to take spiritual action right now on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about us just being in a cave anymore.
Yeah, anymore. Yeah. Yeah. One of my teachers used to say, you know, anyone can go in an ashram and be spiritual. You know,
exactly.
It's so easy to, you know, everyone has the same motivation, you know, you're chanting all the time. And but I think you're right. A lot of people, it's getting caught in the outer form and not really doing the spiritual inner work, you know, that needs to be done personally and, you know, in groups. Which, speaking about that, what do you feel with this, the gathering in groups that seems to be happening more and more to,
I absolutely think it's essential to find your group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so important to get that support of the group, as well as the sense I'm getting about group consciousness right now is that the Messiah is coming through in groups. It's not about one savior, you know, someone you know, who comes like a Jesus or a Muhammad or whatever. I think it's more a collective Messiah right now. So I think we can do a lot more within groups,
mm-hmm.
to establish peace on earth and, you know, heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that makes so much sense, especially with the Aquarian energy, that it would be more in a group form and not necessarily in the individual. That's, mm-hmm. yeah, pretty amazing.
But it's about being able to also receive feedback and, you know, If you're shining your light in just in your own cave, I mean, what's the point of that?
Mm-hmm.
Although I do think that there is a part that plays. I mean, certainly it can help feed the planet. But what I'm aware of with my own personal growth and spiritual emergence is I've had to come clean. And the only way I could come clean without being self-deceptive is through the group,
yeah.
you know, and letting my whole thing hang out there.
Yeah, it's true, doesn't it? It has a way, you know.
And you know, I must say I've busted my ego many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is important to, you know, release that ego stuff. And, you know, I have been humbled many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a cleansing that comes with that. And, you know, people call me on my stuff and I'll call them on their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not about being perfect. You know, well, let me kind of say what I mean there is, you know, we have this false perfection.
Yeah.
So many of us think that we have to do everything right,
mm-hmm.
and it's about sometimes making the mistakes that help to again create that true perfection,
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to make mistakes as long as your intent is to do the best you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there seems to be somewhere along the line that the message, you know, I guess the party line was, you know, if you're evolved, you know, somehow you're not making any mistakes. Nothing's happening. You know, everything's perfect, flowing. I always say everything's always in a divine flow. It may not be the flow that you like. You know, right? It is flowing. But I know about that, too. I've sometimes have to look and say, oh, am I trying to do this so right? Or be, you know, and just letting that go. Because who knows what right is in that situation, really? I mean, certainly not the ego. You know.
Yeah, and certainly I've learned to let go of shoulds,
mm-hmm.
and musts and that sort of thing. And again, it's we're all different, and we're all on you know, some kind of spiritual. I think we're all on a spiritual path of some sort, mm-hmm. but you know, we're not all on the same exact journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what's right for me or perfect for me might not be for you. And diversity is something that we have to learn to also, you know, enjoy. And we thrive in diversity. We don't all have to be cookie cutter spiritual people.
We don't have to all be doing it the exact same way.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing you say.
And I think we all have like a piece to offer,
mm-hmm.
to helping put the puzzle together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I share, and that's about all I can do. I mean,
yeah.
I'll share my understanding of whatever and then put it out there, and it might not help or it might help.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I'm loving with this program that I've been doing is that it seems people – really all over the globe, all over the world, internationally, It's very much the same message and intent, but all in different forms. And I think what you're saying in, with the individuality, you know, finding what resonates for you and getting that support and sharing. To me, it sounds like there's this, you know, collective community that's really coming together. And I love what you said about the group, you know, the Messiah coming through, or Messiah coming through the group. Awareness, mm-hmm. which to me is just so powerful that I don't know why I never thought of that, but that really like makes so much sense. You know, than waiting for this one somebody or something. You know, I don't think it's any more about the one; it's about us all. Yeah, just thinking about that. But now you do facilitate quite a few groups, also. How does that get planned for you? The direction? Do you receive input on now we need to cover this, or how does that unfold for you?
Well, I hope I understand your question. some of that was kind of muffled, but I am running the HeartLink Institute, and by the way, people can go to heartlinkinstitute.com and check out the events that are current. I'm having a series right now on Kabbalah, mm-hmm. and I teach the esoteric sciences mm-hmm. and astrology and tarot and so forth. And in combination with transpersonal psychology, mm-hmm. and I put together a certification program.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So that people can learn, you know, together this combination of transpersonal psychology and esoteric sciences. And I put an emphasis on the body, mind, and spirit connections. Mm-hmm. And there are six core areas that we address: the physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, social, and creative. Mm. And so this program allows for opportunities for people to heal their own stuff and mm-hmm. then eventually help others. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of people who are wanting to help and be of service. And so anyone who actually is interested in that sort of thing, give me a call or email me and go to my site and read about it.
Which would be the HeartLinkInstitute.com. Now, what about remote? Do you have email programs at all, or is it in person or a combination?
Yeah, it's a combination. Basically, right now it's set up for online classes that are strictly done using streaming videos okay. that I've put together, and as along with a PDF file manual of the course,
okay.
and so you just follow along with that. And down the road, I may do more emailing, that kind of correspondence sort of thing. But right now, that's all I have put together mm-hmm. and have time for.
I was just going to say, time. But you're very busy. You've got a lot going on. Now, as far as because you were doing journeys to England with the crop circle cards. Is that or with the crop circle? I guess kind of a pilgrimage,
yeah.
if you will.
Every summer, I've been leading groups to the English crop circles and their sacred sites, and as well as Ireland and Scotland. And over the years, again, it brought me the information that I've needed to then put into the esoteric sciences that I teach now. It's through the crop circles that I learned about sacred geometry and mm-hmm. And so much of the esoteric teachings of creation.
And so I'm
doing that on a kind of a, as the years have gone on, I've decreased the number of people that I take. Mm-hmm. And I'm beginning to think that it may not be the direction I want to continue. Even though if people did contact me, I would consider running a tour, mm-hmm. I'm doing that less and less.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's in England that I learned how to walk
mm-hmm.
with the sacred information. But now I'm based in the United States and feel that there's probably more for me here right now than to go to England.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I feel, again, a connectedness to England. I think it's past lives information that I would collect every time I go over there. I feel like within the soil, I probably have, you know, put the information there for me to download this lifetime.
Yeah, and there's so much. I lived and studied over there for a while myself. It's just in the air. It's in the ethers. It's so steeped with this wisdom.
It is the vortex of where the veils are very weak for us to, to travel through the dimensions very easily. And any sacred site is like that, actually. If you're, again, the intent, and if you purify, I highly recommend you be in a spiritual discipline before you enter these
sites,
dimensions.
Do you? The dimension, okay. And what do you mean by spiritual discipline for our
listeners? Some kind of self-reflectiveness, a sense of centering yourself, an ability to balance so that when the negative energies come up as you are entering through the different astral planes, that does not pull you down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being wise enough to discern the energies so you can move through the astral plane. Well, a lot of us are in the fourth dimension and don't even know it. Some of that work involves, again, getting clear of what your own projections are so that you identify and integrate the shadow material. And again, don't hold it and keep it as a projection outside of you. In other words, the wars today, I think, are due to the fact that many people are sleepwalking in a nightmare and have not come to connect to their subconscious minds. And until we do that inner work, we project outside of us the shadow.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. Yeah, I think that's, you know, the next key, the next big key is the emotional or astral body being, you know, clear, not try to get rid of it, but clear, and then tapping in with the soul or the blueprint of the soul. But I agree. I think if more of that inner work is done and people pull back their projections, there won't be that outward manifestation of the conflict or the war, you know.
It's so important to study the archetypes, and that's why esoteric sciences are I think, a crucial importance to people in coming to terms with these archetypes within us so that we no longer, again, project a tyrant outside of us, but that we've integrated that material.
What do you think about, because I know that this is a big, it's a part of the foundation, is you're helping people to do this. Do you feel or think that enough of us doing that are going to be able to make a difference on the mainstream?
You know what? It only takes, they say, 10 or 11%.
Oh, okay.
The critical mass to shift the rest, and of course the hundredth monkey theory. I really think that, again, if you know yourself, and I know myself, and of course the Delphi motto is know thyself, that is the crux of everything. You know, the more you understand how your subconscious and how all that material is helping to either sabotage or helping you to create the life you want, again, that makes all the difference. You know, then I don't have to take responsibility. I haven't been taking responsibility for everybody. But, you know, the job really is to take responsibility for yourself.
Best
you can.
Oh,
I think so many caretakers, though. You know, what can I say? I have the caretaker syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, But, you know, I always say the same in my workshops. I'm like, hey, I'm not, there's no ivory tower. I'm going through the same stuff you're going through. You know, it might be two steps ahead, you know, maybe know a little more, been on the path a little more. It's seemingly on this dimension, seemingly. But, you know, I think that's the thing. We're all in it, this unfolding, this emergence, and you've got to look to yourself to say, what do I need to do, or what, you know, what am I being called to do, or is this my stuff? You know, is this?
and the best that any of us can do is hold as much peace and happiness within our vibratory field.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if you do that. You know, you're a master, is all I can say.
Absolutely. Well, I can feel, just as we're talking, the vibrational frequency raising and expanding. Just a saint calling forth that for others to focus on, you know, on themselves, be responsible for themselves. It's very expanding.
Yes, very much. And you know, unless you have that vibration of self-love and peace, how on earth do you think it could ever happen on the exterior?
Mm.
It must come from the interior first.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And that really is the crux for the job on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Should you choose to accept this mission?
Right, exactly. I love that, yeah. Well, if you're listening to the program, you've accepted. So don't pretend you haven't.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. And those of you just tuning in, we're speaking with Carrie L. Quinley, who's the author of The Crop Circle Cards, The Living Oracle, and also just a wonderful teacher, facilitator. You can connect with her via heartlinkinstitute.com or hypnotherapyheals.net. And, you know, and I always suggest to the listeners, because I do this sometime when I'm speaking with someone, I'll have just on my desktop their website, you know, and then I get a feel, then I'm getting the visual also if I want to, you know, it's a nice little combination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, speaking,
well,
go ahead, what were you saying?
You've been doing some incredible work there, doing your own, again, sending out the messages, broadcasting and creating this wonderful show. That's very powerful work.
Mm, thanks, Carrie. Coming from you, I appreciate it. I'm a little starstruck because I had gotten the cards, I don't know how long ago, and I was just blown away by them and telling a lot of people about them. And I think I even sent you an email about that I loved them. You know, coming from a similar background, when I come across really great, valid information, you know, kind of the real deal. It's just, I guess it's like somebody that, you know, explores for diamonds or something and they find something, they're all excited, you know, or, you know, friends of mine that go vintage shopping and, oh, God, look what I got. Oh, God, I can't believe this, you know, or I'm that way with, you know, sacred tools, if you will, or, you know, whether divination or oracle or, because I really feel we need the tools. People need the tools. That's another way of getting that support.
It's essential now. You know, these hidden esoteric information has been hidden for a long time, and yet very accessible for a long time, actually, should mm-hmm. you seek it out. But now more than ever, we need to get it out there, and it needs to become esoteric.
Yes,
and
yes.
Out in the open. And again, that's why I'm putting these this information on the internet and making it easily accessible for people to tap into this knowledge of these incredible holy people who over the years have studied the Kabbalah and put that information together for us now, as well as the information that comes through astrology and so forth. It's very impactful mm-hmm. when you finally do understand these archetypes that are taught in these different sciences. and they're called sciences. Of course, they were the original sciences.
Yes, they were.
Astrology was one of the first sciences. So, but it really is important to move into this knowledge of your own self.
Do you think we're getting back?
Real.
Yeah, know thyself. Do you think we're getting back to some degree, these sciences being more known and used?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, of course, over the years, the original Kabbalistic tradition and mystery school information was pure initially, and over the years, unfortunately, there have been some dark forces infiltrating these organizations that have now abused it, and of course, they're using it in the black government and in different levels of, if you're really awake, you understand that there has been a whole another program than the movie that they're telling us.
Don't
believe the movie that they're telling you.
Believe the movie you see. Yeah, go beyond that to what's really what you can really see.
Yeah, and they've abused it and manipulated our reality with this powerful information of the esoteric sciences. It's important for more and more light workers to be using it for the good. And of course, it's all perfect in the divine plan of the whole thing anyway. And not to get caught up in, claustrophobia is what Barbara Hand Cloud calls it.
Yes.
Which I think is a great word.
That is a great word. But again, it is the call. I mean, it's all going to be okay anyway, but I think it's, right? But part of it's all going to be okay because people are more waking up and using the tools and,
The dark forces really are here to stimulate us, to make us wake up.
Yeah. Well, that's
if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, in a sense, the whole plan is perfect in its own way. Because eventually, we awake and, we become these incredible, we already are great, and it's just a coming to terms with that. And a coming, when you awaken to the fact that you are great and that you are in the image of God or the Creator, I like to use the Creator as a term. That's when you finally do awaken to that, initially it's kind of disconcerting.
Right.
One. But eventually, you kind of get, you just let that one go and finally say to yourself, okay, let's get on with it. And, the program has been here. I've always been this incredible being, just now reconnecting to it. And the more we each do that, the less a hold any of the dark forces could have, anyway.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't touch you,
Again, when your frequency is above their frequency, they can't touch you is the point. It is, and there's no such thing as mind control or, controlling our bodies any longer. When we get the heart level chakra understanding and appreciation, they cannot control us any longer. If we're still stuck in the first three chakras, which is all about money, sex, and power, that's where they have control to manipulate. And fear is the energy they work with on those first three chakras.
And if you look
at rise to the heart level, that no longer can they utilize that energy of fear. It just doesn't work anymore.
That makes sense. And you're right that the tools are of those first three chakras of manipulation. Fear about one of those chakras or all of them, not having enough in that area, That's very interesting.
And that's why the know thyself dictum is so important, because then when you understand how these levels, the chakras are each a consciousness level, that when you raise your vibration that you then are able to be in control of your own life at that point. Then you can break, you know, you can leave the old grid,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the more people are leaving the old grid, the less there's empowerment of that grid. It just will collapse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's even certain songs I can't listen to, and this happened a while ago. It's not that there's no charge, it's not that I don't like them or hate them, but there's no resonance. I just, you know, see the truth of the situation in the song, and it's almost like boredom. It's like, oh, I can't listen to this, you know.
Well, part of what, you know, I've learned to do over the years is to say to myself, every person who crosses my path is uplifting to me.
Mm.
And that sets the stage. It really, you know, the more
like
you can
that.
Say that. Yeah.
So setting out an intention.
Intent is so important. Mm-hmm. It's crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the major piece to manifesting.
Mm. Now, when you
say you're comfortable in your body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you set that intent, you can be comfortable in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people right now are so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And needing to really turn that around by just simply setting that intent.
Mm-hmm.
I am comfortable in my body.
Mm-hmm.
I am comfortable on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you mm-hmm. are.
Well, that's a good one. I'm comfortable on earth, especially with these shifts that are happening. We've got these gateways, portals of light, you know, more intensification of the light, which I always say that's great, but it brings more light. But when you have more light, you can also really see what's going on, you know, which you have the chance to clear it, correct it, adjust it, whatever. But there is a lot of discomfort out there right now, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah.
There is.
And people are only, you know, magnetizing more of that to them, the more power they give to it. And
mm-hmm.
that's the problem, yeah, and a law of attraction, it really is powerful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think with that too, Kariel, tell me what you think of this, with that law of attraction is also notice where you're resonating, truly resonating, what doors are opening. I mean, you, to me, so beautifully gave an example of this when you listened early on in your first awakening and realized, oh, this you know, I'm not getting support here. This isn't the right situation for me. You listened. I think that's why so many people don't manifest, is they're not listening to what's resonating or emerging and following that. You know, they've got another agenda in their mind. Can you speak to that a little bit? What can someone do? In other words, how did you know to follow what you were receiving?
Again, it's kind of hard to understand the question because it's muffled, but I'm going to assume that you asked me.
Okay.
how to help people. What's the first thing that I would tell them? And again, the first thing I would tell them is to love yourself.
Mm.
And the more you are able to freely feel that sense of self-love, and that sense of self-reflection and that it's okay to know yourself and who
mm-hmm.
you are, the more you're going to pull that to yourself and the teacher will show up that will help you to understand that. And but you have to ask. I mean, sometimes we just react to life rather than take pro action.
Mm-hmm.
And it is important to, again, to rise in terms of your own, if you're on a frequency of just the first three chakras, then you're in reactionary fight or flight mode.
Mm.
And that's where they can manipulate you
mm-hmm.
in, through fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, a lot of people are on a treadmill right now, and they're basing their whole security around, you know, the government or, you know, the father authority
mm-hmm.
figure.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the problem. A lot of people are just so kept in that, and the hold of security keeps them stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a deficiency need.
Yeah.
when they transcend the deficiency needs, and of course Maslow is the one who talks about the different levels of the different needs. When you hit a certain point, there is no longer a manipulation through fear. Mm-hmm. You transcend all that base fight or flight consciousness, mm-hmm. and you transcend it. And I highly recommend that loving yourself. And of course, a lot of us are stuck through early childhoods of abuse or whatever, in this hurt, wounded child. Mm-hmm. And we need to extend that child love. Mm-hmm. And every day, just acknowledging that you have this inner child that needs your love.
Mm-hmm.
And just simply say, I love you, when you look in the mirror.
Mm, powerful.
That's a big one for people.
Yeah.
To look in the mirror and say, I love you. Mm-hmm. That will increase your frequency, again, to a level where you're vibrating higher, and then you start getting clarity, and then things start shifting.
Mm-hmm. How did you know to follow the messages you were getting?
How what?
How did you know to follow the messages you were getting? How did you know to trust yourself?
Well, that's a self-acceptance. I mean, at some point, again, when you have a level of self-love, you start trusting yourself. But if you don't have that level of love, self-love, then how can you trust yourself? You're in a distrust. And, again, that's one of the deficiency needs. In early childhood, a lot of us learned only distrust. We never learned to trust ourselves because a lot of abuse was telling us that we were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So really needing to get to that point of self-trust, and over time, if you center within and clear out the past and forgive the past. And a big piece is forgiveness, because then you reclaim your energy from that. Mm-hmm. A lot of the energy is wasted on being angry.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I learned over time, to then step out and take the risk. I mean, it really is some risk taking. But you end up taking less and less of a risk because it's guaranteed to, if you're connected to your higher self, you're guaranteed to do well regardless.
Right, absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Is the name HeartLink, is this why the name? Because you were talking so much of love, you know, the self-love, the self-acceptance.
Yes. Well, HeartLink is, I originated that back in 93 when, again, I was wanting to do these tours to England and connect to all these people and connect to their hearts.
Mm.
And so it was a linking up of hearts.
Mm.
And now it's again, evolved more and more that we are linking up in this wonderful network of hearts.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
This is a global situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Global heart,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel, as you were speaking, I could just feel that that self-love, that self-acceptance so much is the key. And actually makes sense that how can you trust yourself if you don't have the self-acceptance and the self-love? It's very hard to trust yourself if you don't have that.
I would suggest that people, if they're having concern around that, and most people do, actually, to address the wound where it began, again, in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I would send, in your meditation, I highly recommend you meditate every day in some fashion, whether it just means you sit for 5 minutes in self-reflection and just send yourself love. That's all you need. And then send that love, extend that love to the past. And, of course, there is no time when you're in that altered state anyway.
Mm.
So when you feed your inner child from the past this energy of love, it really heals the past. So I would even go back as far as infancy and just send that inner infant love. And wherever there was trauma, I would send that love, that energy love.
Imagine if everyone did that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful. A lot of people are just walking around as wounded souls and are not really addressing. They're so distracted, again, they're so stuck and manipulated by this the manipulators that they don't even think to take time to just sit and reflect and love themselves. It is so essential to be feeding ourselves music that is of a high love frequency. Just keep feeding yourself the best you can. And of course, some people will say, well, I don't even have a radio, so how can I do that? So just use your mind. It doesn't take ownership of things to or tools. You can literally just use your mind to bring this high frequency of love into your life. Send yourself as much light and love each day.
Boy, listeners, I invite you all to do this. You know, even to integrate it for a week, just doing what Cariel is suggesting. I know I'm going to, because I can already just feel the energy just uplifting just by doing that as she was speaking. So what a great idea. Amazing.
Thank you.
Very powerful. And I find a lot of times it's the simple truths that we overlook, but those sometimes are the most powerful. That which is the most simplest a lot of times is the most profound. Now, just to touch on a bit, Cariel, what do you, you also have a website, hypnotherapyheals.
Yeah.
.net. What do you think or feel about hypnotherapy? Do you think that that's going to be more prevalent also in our world?
Well, it's interesting, the whole concept that we can literally help people to heal. Now, this is hypnotherapy, so it's healing.
Yes.
Using hypnosis. It's not the stage hypnosis, in other words. It's the idea that we can help a person with implanting a new program, let's put it that way, or deprogramming from the old program, the old negative program that person has. That idea is truly, I think, a powerful piece of information. That literally people are in a trance. Everyone has their own script that they're working on and may not even be aware of it.
Yeah.
And I do think that there's more of positive uses coming using the ability of consciousness to literally, you know, we're just becoming aware of how powerful our consciousness is and how to expand it to the larger consciousness.
Yes.
And, you know, the more we... I help people, I facilitate people to do this, but you can do it on your own. You can use self-hypnosis to go into these altered levels of brainwave states. In other words, theta and certainly relaxed state of alpha and more able to, again, see or enter into the higher dimensions where there's new ways of living that we have just begun to start to understand. You know, the old way of being in the old trance.
You're right.
Is, you know, it's just, it's not working, obviously.
No.
And so, and people, like I say, when they are tuning in, to a TV show or radio program that is negative and, just has this low frequency, it affects you. I mean, anything that that has a low frequency affects you and weakens you, is my point. So, again, the more powerful the program in terms of raising your love frequency, for instance. Some programs do that, and you can tell they're doing that. Mm-hmm. When I drop off to sleep, I want to have some images of positive, high love frequencies. I don't want to fall off to sleep with negative violence and that sort of thing. And I highly recommend people filter what they watch or listen to.
Absolutely. Watch the news. Don't watch so much. I mean, be alert to not watching so much of the news. That really is a vibrational dampener.
And it goes to the subconscious. That's the problem of it. And we're in such a relaxed state often when we're watching these shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're like, again, we're being affected from the subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they use subliminal commercials. I mean, subliminal information in shows. The more they can get you to buy their products.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're in that highly receptive state, and all of a sudden you're responding to the commercials, thinking you need something that you don't need.
I mean, they're selling you products that you certainly don't need.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it really is a prioritizing what really we do need, what's essential, what's the important thing. We don't need to have two houses or three houses. These excesses that people have gone to, and they're so caught up. And of course, they're just playing by the manipulator's script. I mean, that's exactly, they're being manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And when people catch on to the fact that they eat or they do things because they've been programmed to do it, that's when, things are going to really shift.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to take back their own power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine when you're not in that, the lower levels in being manipulated or influenced, that alone, deplugging from that alone will begin to raise your vibrational frequency.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I would imagine. Oh, Carol, this has been wonderful. Great to connect with you. I want to let our listeners know again that they can reach you at the heartlinkinstitute.com. hypnotherapyheals.net, and you also are the host of your own show, Cariel's Heartlink, on BBS Radio. Now, that's every other Wednesday, right? It's every...
Yes. And I may go to every Wednesday, but at this point, it's every other.
Every other Wednesday, 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that's Cariel's Heartlink on BBS Radio. I know all of you have so... just enjoyed this and taken in and absorbed all this amazing insight, information, and energy. And again, Cariel, thanks for joining us on Awakenings.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I really appreciate you inviting me, Michelle. You're beautiful. Your light is shining for sure.
Oh, thank you. Lots of love to you. And lots of love to you, listeners. And until next time, keep awake.